Well, this morning, things are a little different for me anyway, and they may be for you too, but grateful for you being here. Let me just share a couple things here about what's going on. Thank you for your prayers, those of you praying for me, wondering what was going on. I was in Alabama this week, and I thought I was having an allergic reaction to some cough syrup that I had taken, something new that I had, and when that didn't start going away, wearing off after a while, then something was going on. So I drove home 7 hours, just like this. I had to drive home this, but went to the emergency room the next day on Thursday and found out that I have Bell's palsy. And so fortunately, it wasn't a stroke, but I have partial paralysis on the right side of my face. So that side's not working. My right eye does not work, so that's why the patch, it will not close, it will not blink, so it messes up my vision and it gets irritated real easily. So got that. As far as speech, you can already probably tell, it affects some of my speech, but I audioed this message yesterday just so I could hear it myself, and I thought, okay, they're going to have to put up with it. I'm going to go with it. So God's allowed me to do that and said, you know, it's going to be fine. God's got it. It's in Him. You just may have to listen a little bit closer. It takes me a little bit more to articulate some of the words. My B's, P's, and F's, as you just saw, are not that great, but God's got this, and He's going to take control of it. Somebody messaged me yesterday on Facebook or text or something and asked, you know, how I was doing. I was okay. I said, God's got this, And they actually read the book that we wrote called God Provides, and I said, God's got this, and He will provide once again. That book, I've told you that we would bring you some. There's 25 copies here, and we would like for you, my wife and I, are giving it to you. If you take one per household, they're out on the glass tables outside here. If we run out, we'll bring more back next week. That's okay. But there's 25 copies of God Provides. It's a book that I wrote about our life and how God has provided through different areas of our life. Health-wise, some financially, but just how God has moved us and how He's let us know. What's your next step of faith? What is your next step that God wants us? So we appreciate you taking a copy. Please read it and let God inspire and influence you as you do read it. Now, another change that you may have noticed is I love being around you. I love walking around before the service and greeting you and talking with you and after the service. That didn't happen today, and it may not happen for a couple of weeks. And the main reason is the medication that they put me on for this, they told me that this will drop your immune system dramatically and you need to avoid contagious people. I don't know how contagious you are. Hopefully you're contagious with the Holy Spirit, amen? But I want you to know that if I'm not just interacting with you socially right now, that's the reason why, for my protection and yours as well, for that there. I'm going to ask Brother Aiden if he would come up here. He's agreed to come up and help me this morning. He's going to read my scripture, so I don't have to at least do that. And then he's going to stand right here and watch me, and if anything happens, he's going to jump in and he's going to... Oh, I didn't tell you that part, did I? I shouldn't scare our teenagers like that. But Aiden, you come and read our scripture this morning. Thank you.
Well, I can certainly say there's no promises to that. Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" He said to him, the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up and take your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath.
Thank you, Aiden. Appreciate that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this, your word. Pray that you would now, through your Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us. May my delivery be clear, but more than my words, may your Holy Spirit's delivery be clear in each heart and each mind as we sit here and listen to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we begin a series of about 5 or 6 weeks for restoration in the church and some things that you have talked to us about. As the transition team, David Stokes, Alex Kinchin, and myself, we don't have a report to bring to you yet. We're still ongoing with what we're doing there. But we want to decide, you know, let's do 6 weeks of just helping the church to bring back the church of that God wants it to be, and some of the things that you've talked to us about. So we're going to start that tonight. Please be here. I'm going to be here, okay? If I can be here in this condition, you can be here too. Unless you're physically unable, we really encourage you to be a part of what God is going to do in these next few weeks and preparing you for the future in this church. Now, also, I will say, I'm grateful for the staff here. Grateful for all of them, that not only the Mickey and Jonathan, but the support staff and others as well. And they're jumping in and helping out whatever we need. And this week especially, Jonathan was ready to step up here and preach today if need be. And I'm grateful for that. He may still have to get up here before it's over. But I will say this. Somebody asked me, said, so today's message will probably be shorter? I said, no, it'll probably be longer because it's going to take me longer to get it out. So, but I've given two people, Mickey and my wife, are the only two people who can stop me and say, okay, it's you're no longer clear. You're not coming through clear. Let's move to something else. But they're the only two that can. So you can't say, okay, we can't hear you. It's time to go. I've got to get to the restaurant. They're the ones that can. But be here tonight and do that. And then in your bulletin, there's a bulletin insert today. That's something that's going to go along every week with whatever we're talking about on Sunday night. So tonight, that's the passage that's handout from Ephesians 4, chapter 1 through 6, or chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. You're going to be looking at that all week. We ask you, I wrote down 5 different prayers and asked that you would pray one a day as you go through there. And then you add your own prayer to it as you go. So I want you to do that. We're going to do that for the next few weeks. And that goes along with whatever we're doing on Sunday evening. So thank you for that. Now, I think because of what's going on with my eyes, I'm going to have to wear my glasses all morning for this, just so I script out my messages, not because I can't, not because I can't remember, not because I don't know what I'm going to share, but I script them out so I don't chase too many rabbits. It won't stop me from all of them, but maybe not chase too many. But as in all of Scripture, there's much that we can learn from this passage that Aiden read for us this morning, our Scripture passage from John chapter 5. And I want us to look at 4 different things that we can learn from this today, 4 different ideas that we can learn from. The first is God's choice. We're told by scholars, by historians and archaeologists, that between 300 and 500 people were seated or laying around this pool of Bethesda every day. Each one of them, all of them, waiting to be healed. And the theory was that an angel of the Lord would come down, or the belief would come down and stir those waters. And when those waters were stirred, the very first person in could be healed of whatever they was ailing. But only one person each time. And so all 300 to 500 people every day were desiring the same thing, to be healed, to be that one person, to be able to get first into the water and be completely healed. Now Jesus comes along, and he could have healed one, or he could have healed several, or he could have healed everyone that day. He chose this one man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. That's how long Scripture says he'd been laying at this pool waiting to be healed. Now, Jesus could have walked through the crowd, and he could have just pointed certain people out and said, go home, you're healed, go home, you're healed. He didn't even have to raise his hands, but he could have raised his hands and said, be healed, every one of you, get up and go home. But that's not what he did. Jesus chose to heal this one man out of a crowd of 500. Now, we do not know why Jesus chose this one man, but we do know is what Jesus said in verse 19 of the same chapter. He says, then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son of Man is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does also these things in the same way. Jesus says that he knew what to do by what he saw the Father doing. Wherever the Father, God, was at work, Jesus joined him in that work. And that is the same obligation that you and I have today. We have been given the same obligation. In fact, Jesus says later that God will lead you and I to do even greater things than this when we trust and obey God the Father. See, Jesus chose this one man out of the multitude. Today, Jesus has chosen you out of the multitudes. Out of the multitudes of people in Bourbon County and all around us, in Kentucky and all around, God has chosen you out of those multitudes. Now this man, when he was chosen, he went and told many other people about what God was doing through Jesus Christ and how what God had done through Jesus to him and for him. People were asking this guy, what's going on? People were coming to him and asking, what's going on? They were asking him because he was different. He had changed. He stood out in the crowd. What about you? Do you stand out in the crowd? I mean, what are you doing now that God has chosen you? God has chosen you out of the multitudes. What are you doing now that God has chosen you? You see, folks, the main question in this passage is what I used as the title of my message. The main question is the one that Jesus asked this man, this paralytic, in verse 6. Do you want to get well? That's a pretty simple question, right? It's pretty straightforward. Do you want to get well? Now, if you were sick, be it with a cold or a virus or COVID or cancer or whatever it was, if you're sick in any way and someone comes up to you and says, do you want to get well? What are you going to say? Yeah. Somebody comes up to me right now and says, do you want to get well? I'm going to say, no, I kind of like this. I kind of like being paralyzed on one side of my face. I'm going to say, yes, I want to get well. Nobody wants to be sick. Nobody likes that. And so we're going to say, yes, I want to get well. So it's a pretty straightforward question. Well, let's look at the man's response in the next verse. Verse 7. Sir, the man answered, I don't have a man to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. But while I'm coming, somebody else goes down ahead of me. This leads me to my second point. First point, God's choice. God chose you. Second point here is man's aversion. This paralyzed man did not answer Jesus' question. It's a simple question. It's a straightforward question. Do you want to get well? But he immediately diverted away from the question and began making excuses. As my friend Mike Stewart puts it in the foreword of Reaching the Summit, he says it was perhaps an excuse if only circumstances were different, if only he had family to help him, if only others gave him some consideration, if only. What was he doing? He's making excuses. He did not answer the question. Instead, he chose to blame outside circumstances on his current condition. Do you notice that? You ever notice that as you read this before? Folks in the church today, we're just as guilty as this man. We're just as guilty of making excuses. When asked why we believe the church to be in decline today or why we're not reaching more people for Christ, the answers that we hear are most always about outside influences. Never about our lack of fulfilling the Great Commission. It's always about something else. If our people were more committed, if the economy, I love this one, if the economy was good, people say the economy is bad, so people won't come to church. And then when the economy is good, they say, well, the economy is too good, people won't come to church. Well, if it's the economy, when do they come to church? It's not the economy. It's that other church that moved into town that's taken all of our people. It's this, if. Folks, as the church, the bride of Christ, we need to stop passing the blame and start accepting responsibility. This is one of the principles that I live by and that I teach. It's in at least one of my books, if not more. Don't pass the blame. Shoulder responsibility. And I shared this, I think, a couple weeks ago on Sunday evening. It matters not in any church when a church started in decline, or how long the decline's been going on, or what's happening in the church today, or has been happening in the past year or whenever. It matters not. What matters right now is it's your watch. It may have started 10, 20 years before you got here. But if you're here today because God brought you here, and that's the only reason you should be at a church, is if God's brought you to that church. And if you're here today because God's brought you here, then it's your watch now. And ours is not to be concerned about what happened in the past, but ours is what are we going to do to move God's kingdom forward from this day forward? How are we going to move God's kingdom forward? In the church today, we're just as guilty of passing the blame and making excuses as this man was. You see, we like to use that word if things were a little different, if things were okay. But would you agree with me that no word that implies doubt belongs in the same conversation about God's ability? No word that implies doubt belongs in any conversation about God's ability to do anything. Because with God, all things are possible. Doubt causes us to use the word if. It causes us to use the word if, even when we're seeking God's help. But faith compels us to replace it with belief. The question before you and I today is the same as Jesus asked the paralyzed man in our scripture passage. Do you want to get well? Now, with this question, what I'm talking about for the church today is it's not just your physical healing. For some of us, it is. But it's not just your physical healing. It's do you want to get well? Do you want to be in the right place where God wants you, using all the abilities, all the gifts, everything that He's given you? Do you want to get well and fulfill God's command to us? And let me say this. No one can answer that question for you but you. Do you want to get well? And you know, you answer that question every day by your actions. God's choice. God chose you. He chose you to fulfill His kingdom purpose through Central Baptist Church. God chose you. We saw man's aversion, how we avert. You know, well, we're not reaching people because it's always something else. It usually has nothing to do with our lack of it, is what the excuses we give. And so the third point I want us to see this morning is God's directive. It's in the very next verse, in verse 8. Jesus asked, the man averted the question. Jesus asked the question, do you want to get well? The man averted the question and gave excuses. But here's what I like about this. Jesus does not accept his excuses. Look at the very next verse, in verse 8. Jesus does not allow the man to continue in his pity party. I could have sat home today. And several people here said, you should have stayed home today. They didn't want me here. No, that's not true. That's not true. But they say, you should have stayed home today. You should have and that may be true. But Jesus suffered a whole lot more for me than I'm going through with this with him. And so I'm not going to stay home unless God forces me to stay home. But what we see here is Jesus does not let this man stay and continue in his pity party or his excuse session. Jesus gives the man a command right away. The man starts giving excuses. It's like Jesus just cuts him off and says, get up. Jesus told him, pick up your bedroll and walk. How many of us are not living up to our potential because we continue to give excuses? It's that other person or that other group, or it's that past pastor, three pastors ago, whatever that is. It's easier to pass the blame, is it not? It's easier to pass the blame onto someone else or to outside sources that we do not have any control over. Well, we're not reaching more people for Christ because they just don't care about church anymore. That's not what God said. He didn't say wait for them to care about church and then go and reach them. He said go. So how many of us are not living up to our potential because we're making those excuses? It's easier, isn't it? It certainly is. It's certainly easier to just blame it on something else and not live up to our responsibility. But we live much like the man in this passage. We believe the reason that our church isn't growing is not because of something I'm not doing. Can't be that. It is because of something else or someone else or another group. Folks, it's time to stop passing excuses, expecting God to accept them, because God does not accept our excuses. In fact, in Scripture, in our Scripture this morning, it is as though Jesus did not even hear the excuses. He does not hesitate. He does not shake his head. He does not give apathy. He doesn't have to mention, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that nobody is helping you. I'm so sorry that you don't have family here to help you to get you down. I'm so sorry. Jesus doesn't do any of that. He simply gives the man a command. He says, get up, pick up your bedroll and walk. Have you ever noticed that God's directives are pretty simple? I mean, think about it. Uncomplicated. Calling his disciples, he says, follow me. Walking on the water, he tells Peter, come. One word. He gives his directive in one word. God's directives are pretty plain, pretty simple. There's no code to break. There's no mountain to climb. It's simply come. Follow me. In this case, Jesus told the paralytic, get up, pick up your bedroll and walk. It's not a difficult task. What is he telling you this morning? He has a directive. You know he has a directive for your life. He has a directive for every life here this morning. What is his directive for you? God's choice. He chose you. Man's aversion. We try to avert and divert the question. But God has a directive on us. And the fourth thing this morning is man's belief-based action. That's not easy for me to say this morning. Man's belief-based action. Though the man had been paralyzed for 38 years, he immediately was able to recover from his lifelong debilitating disease and ailment. Look at what it says in verse 9. It says, instantly the man got well, picked up his bedroll, and started to walk. Now, if you've ever had a broken leg or been off your feet for more than a couple of weeks, you realize how quickly atrophy sets in. You know how weak your legs are and how wobbly they are in trying to stand up, much less walk. I had knee surgery from a sporting accident back in 1978, and I was in a soft cast after surgery for about 4 weeks, and I had 6 weeks of rehab time. I came out strong and good, and you can read that story in this book. But my leg atrophied in that 4 weeks, something I could not believe. I could not imagine how much it had atrophied and how little it had gotten and how weak it was. This man had not been able to walk or to use his legs for 38 years, perhaps his entire life. And look what it says. Instantly, the man got well, picked up his bedroll, and started to walk. Instantly, it says. Now, there's a reason it says instantly. He got well, picked up his bedroll, and walked. Instantly, it happened as soon as Jesus spoke the words. The strength was in his legs right then. There was no progression. There was no recovery period. There was no rehab period. It was instantaneous. That's impossible. That's humanly impossible. So we know that this is a miracle of God. But he got well. It does not say that they helped him up. It says he stood up. He got up. Now, I can probably sit down here on the floor this morning, and the longer I stay there, I may be able to get up on my own, but I would appreciate some help. This man did not need assistance. Jesus gave him a directive, told him, get up, pick up your bedroll, and walk. He followed that directive and immediately got up, never to return to this ailment again, never to go back to what he had lived for the last 38 years. Immediately picked up his bedroll. Folks, again, I'll say it again this week. It seems like it's coming up every week. If it's in Scripture, it's there for you and me to learn from, something that we need to know in our own lives. This man not only stood up. We know that the first one, that God raised him up and he told him to stand up and he got up immediately. We know that's a miracle. But do you know there's a second miracle here? Watch this. There's a second miracle here because it says this man not only stood up, he was able to bend all the way over to the ground and pick up his bedroll. That's impossible if you've not been on your feet. I mean, if you and I do that, we know, that's going to take some. You subconsciously, if not consciously, the older we get, it's more conscious that we get about it, to bend all the way over to the ground to pick something up. We got to be careful and watch our balance. This man immediately, instantly, it says, stood up, picked up his bedroll, and walked. That takes balance, especially if you have not stood up for more than 38 years. This man should have fallen over long before he got that far. But he did not. Why? Because he was following God's directive. And God does not stop short of delivering 100% as long as we act in direct obedience to his directive on us. Folks, the fact that this man stood up and bent over was nothing short of another miracle. Two miracles right here in this one passage. We know his healing was a miracle, but so was his bending over without falling on his face. Instantly, he got up, picked up his bedroll, and started to walk. Why? Because he followed God's directive completely. He started to walk. He had full strength in his legs. You cannot walk without assistance after being off your feet for 30 days, much less 38 years. Though the man had been paralyzed all this time, 38 years, he immediately was able to recover from this lifelong debilitating ailment. Why? Because he followed through with action. Not only words, but with action according to all of God's directive to him. Some of you here today perhaps have been operating without full capacity for 38 years. Certainly some for several, 7 or 8 months, and even longer in other years. But if you will listen to God's directive and you will act in obedience, you don't hesitate, you don't blame someone else, if you act in obedience to God's directive on your life, you will not only be able to stand tall, you will be able to do the impossible. Amen. What you do every day proves what you believe. Every action that you make is an outward manifestation of what you believe, what you hold dear. If you believe that you are a child of God, you will demonstrate that with everything that you do and everything that you say. But if you place what the world tells you is important and good above God's word and his directives, your beliefs are out of line. As the bride of Christ, much of the church in North America today is out of line and out of step with God's directive. The question in front of us today, the question facing each one of us today, you and me, is the same question. The same question that Jesus asked the paralytic man in verse 6. Do you want to get well? You can continue making excuses, or you can seek out God's directive for your own life and follow it. The choice is yours. 80% of churches across North America are plateaued and declining. A few of these churches are awakening, and it starts with individuals. They're taking individual responsibility and seeking to follow God's directive. What about you? We're going to do something a little different this morning. For an invitation, I want you to consider that. Do you want to get well? You may say, I'm fine. I'm good. What about man's aversion? You're still making excuses. Well, I can't because I'm this, or I can't because God hadn't allowed me, or this or that. Here's what I want you to do today. We're going to stand in just a minute, see who else going to come and play. But if you can honestly say that you want this church to get well and follow God's directive, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Every person here, up on the balcony, down here on the floor. If you're physically able, if you are, honestly can say that you want this church to get well and follow God's directive, I'm going to ask you to come and join me at the altar today when we stand up. Now, if you're not willing, if you're not there yet, if you're not, I'm just not sure I can do that yet, that's okay. Nobody's going to look down on you. But I'm going to ask, if you would, Sue Ellen, if you would come and start for us, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have, this is going to be our time of invitation today. If you can honestly say that you want this church to get well and to follow God's directive, I'm going to ask you to come forward to the altar. Let's join together. Let's show that we can have the unity that God wants us to have as a church. Father, I pray that as we're here kneeling and standing, that we're open to joining hearts, all across this worship center, that we're open to hearing your Holy Spirit speak to us, that we're confessing our aversion. Perhaps we're not doing, you chose us, we understand that, but we're not doing what you called us because we've been making excuses, because we like our own comfort. And I pray that there's some here today that would even go as far as to say, Lord, whatever it takes in my life, will you mold me and make me to be the person that follows your directives greater than I ever have. Father, I pray that as we kneel and we stand here, that we can look to each other, to one another, and say, I have no animosity to anyone in this church. And where I have, I ask God and ask them for forgiveness. I have no animosity to anyone in this community. And if I have, God, give me the boldness to go to them and ask for their forgiveness and tell them that you, God alone, has opened my heart. Father, I pray that this would be the beginning of a healing, of a restoration time for Central Baptist Church, that it can have and see its greatest days still in front, not behind. And that we would leave the past behind. We learn from the past, but we don't live in the past. So I pray that we would unite together in one mind, in one heart, following the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit to be the Great Commission Church that you placed us here to be, not putting anything else in front of you, setting all things aside, that we would follow you and we would be one, united in Christ by the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you, church. Thank you for your commitment there. And I pray that as Jonathan gets ready to come to close us out, I pray that God would have his way in your life. That what you did this morning, what we prayed this morning, is not something that we just came forward and said some words or made some actions, but it's from the heart. And we continue to follow God from the heart. God bless you. We're going to talk tonight more about unity and what it means to live in unity, what unity is not, and what unity is, and how we can move forward in unity. So please, 6:30 this evening, with everything you can, be here this evening to join us for that.